I just want to say welcome to all of you. I'm glad you're here. If you're new, if you're visiting, my name is Pastor Rodney. I serve as pastor of the church here, Ethan Church of the Bible. We're super glad you're with us tonight. Good Friday is the most important holiday, holy day of the year. Christmas is monumental because God became a human. He was born of a virgin. He was placed in a food trough for animals because no one would make room for him. Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, is joyous because we don't follow a dead religious leader. Jesus is alive. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is alive. So we can enjoy relationship with him today. But that's all because of what happened Good Friday. Good Friday is why Jesus came. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came, why? To give his life. To give his life. He came, he was born as a human being so that he could lay down his life for us. That he was raised on the third day, that's evidence that what he did was accepted by his Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 23 says, we preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. Crucified. Tonight you're going to sing songs, you're going to hear scriptures that point us to the meaning of the crucifixion. Why Jesus came. And it's personal. It's personal. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to invite you to open your heart tonight to receive. It's personal. He came for you. He died for you. So let's open our hearts together. And if you have questions as we go through tonight, stick around, ask one of us, ask the person you came with. If you want prayer, if you just need encouragement, ask. We'd love to pray for you, encourage you, just bless you. So stick around and just open your heart to receive and enjoy what Jesus did for you.
Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2:12-18. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world.
But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God, in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility.
And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Philippians 2:4-8. Let each of you look not to their own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Colossians 1:19-20. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.
Colossians 2:13-14. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross.
Let's pray for a moment. Just bow your hearts with me. Father, what treasures we have heard and sung. What truths of your word that are powerful to set captives like me free. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, for becoming one of us, so that as one of us, you could lay down your life as the perfect sacrifice for sinners like me. Lord, open our hearts to receive your word. Open our eyes to see Jesus. Be at work by your Holy Spirit in each of us for your glory. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Paul said that the gospel, the good news, is summed up in the cross. The cross is so central to the good news that he can use the cross as shorthand for the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:17, he says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Good news. And not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The good news, the gospel, is the power of God for salvation, and it is the word of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:23, Paul says, we preach, we proclaim Christ crucified. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The message is simple. The message is clear. The good news message that we preach is the word of the cross. Christ crucified. So as not to leave us in any doubt, he concisely lays out this word of the cross in 1 Corinthians 15. He wants to remind us of the gospel. The gospel, the good news that he proclaimed, that he preached. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 15:3. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared. And then he goes on to list all the eyewitnesses that were alive at the time of his writing that you could talk to say, so you say you saw him? Paul says this is the most important thing. This is of first importance. If you don't get anything else, get this. You have to get this. It's what makes Good Friday good. It's the good news. It's the word of the cross. Christ died. Christ died. That's the historical fact. Secular historians recorded that Jesus was a historical person. He was crucified by the Romans. You can believe that Jesus died, and that's just believing history. But the gospel is more than mere historical fact. It gives reason. It answers the question, why? Why did Jesus die? That's a very good question. He didn't deserve to die. Why did Jesus die? Because he made some political enemies? Because he was a threat to the religious leaders, the authorities? Because he said some controversial things and offended people? Because one of his own close followers turned against him and betrayed him? Here's the why. Here's the why that we're given in the Word. Christ died for our sins. The execution of Jesus was because the wages of sin is death. But Jesus was perfect, sinless. He never sinned, not once. Not in thought, not in word, not in deed, never neglecting the good that he ought to have done. Not once. He died because of sin, but it wasn't his own sin that he died for. He died for our sins, for my sin, for your sin. Why did Jesus hang naked, suspended between heaven and earth by nails driven through flesh into wood? Why did he endure the just wrath of a holy God poured out? Because of my sins. Your sins. He died for our sins. He died as a substitute. He died in my place. This was according to the scriptures. All the scriptures point to this. If you've been in church the last four Sundays, we've been walking together through some of this. The sacrificial system, the tabernacle and temple, all pointed to this. An innocent lamb, butchered in place of a guilty person. Blood splattered to appease justice. A victim died, but it wasn't the one who sinned. It wasn't the one who committed the offense. The wages of sin is death, and the price was paid, but the life given was not the life of the sinner. One animal for one sin of one person, until the rivers around Jerusalem ran red with blood. But it was never enough. It was a picture to point us to the vastness of our own need, our own sin. An infinite sacrifice was needed. An infinitely worthy substitute. Christ. The long-awaited promised Messiah King. Jesus, the one who was with God and who was himself God, who left his Father's side to become human. So that as the perfect human, he could offer himself willingly once for all for our sins. Christ died for our sins in accordance with all the scriptures. He was buried. He was really and truly dead. You don't bury somebody who's still slightly alive. But he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Remember, brothers and sisters, Sunday is coming, and I hope to see you here to celebrate that. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and he appeared offering evidence to hundreds of eyewitnesses that he is really and truly alive. That's the good news. The good news for sinners who deserve the wrath of God. If you don't believe that's me, if you don't believe that's you, I deserve the wrath of God, you're saying, yeah, we believe you deserve the wrath of God. I don't deserve the wrath of God. No, we all deserve the wrath of God. If you don't believe you deserve the wrath of God, you don't understand you. And you're not reading your Bible. It's pretty clear. This message, the word of the cross, demands a response. Paul laid out the necessary response in verses 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. He proclaimed the gospel that Christ died for our sins. His hearers, they received the message. They took it. He delivered it. They received it. You ever had a pizza delivered to you? The delivery guy, he brings it to your house. He stands outside. You got to receive it. Open the door. Take it. But here's the thing. The gospel isn't something you can pay for. It is not something you can earn. It is a gift, freely given. It was costly, infinitely costly. We see that in Good Friday, what it cost. But to us, it's a gift freely given. The gospel isn't something you receive once and then throw it in the trash and move on to other things. Paul says that you're standing in it, holding fast to it, being saved by it. This is not a passing thing, not a once a year thing. This is an all day, every day embrace of the life preserver. You understand, you are completely sunk apart from the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ who died for our sins. So you hold on for dear life and you never let go. Paul warns us in this passage, there is something called believing in vain. That means vain. That means it's worthless. It's empty. It gets you nothing. It does nothing for you. There is a way to believe in Jesus that he calls believing in vain. And there's a lot of people who say they believe in Jesus. A lot of people even do things for Jesus. Do things in the name of Jesus. And Jesus says in Matthew 7, on that day, I will say to many, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I don't want that to be any of us. I don't want to believe in vain. Have you received the word of the cross that you are a sinner that deserves hell, but Jesus died for your sins? If you feel like, well, my sins aren't really that bad, look at the cross. See, they're that bad. That's a graphic portrayal of how bad my sins really are. Receive the word of the cross that I am a sinner who deserves hell, but Jesus died for my sins. Are you standing on that good news as your only foundation? Clinging to it as your only hope? If you are, then you are being saved by it. Notice that is a passive thing. It's something that is done to us, not something we do. We're being saved. Somebody else is reaching down and rescuing. He is the one who is mighty to save. I contribute the need. I contribute the occasion for being rescued. That's my contribution to the whole equation. Salvation is not something you do. It is something only Jesus can do. And it happens to you when you truly believe in Christ crucified. This is personal. And it demands a response. And so right now, I am evangelizing you. I am proclaiming the gospel to you. I'm preaching to you the good news. I'm delivering the gospel. I didn't make it up. I received it. And now it's your turn. It's being delivered. Will you receive it? Right here, right now, will you receive the gift? It's being offered. I'd invite you to receive. Simply cry out to Jesus and say, I recognize I'm a sinner. I deserve your just wrath. The punishment for the wages of my sin is death, eternal separation from a good God for eternity. I'd like the gift. I'd like to be washed clean and forgiven, and I recognize I can't contribute. Freely given, freely receive. Let me pray for you. We'll invite the worship team to come up and continue to lead us in some singing and some reading. And I invite you to contemplate, where do you stand? And if you don't know, don't leave. Get that question settled. Happy to talk to you. There's many around you who would be happy to point you to Jesus, to pray with you right here, right now, tonight. Let me pray for you. Jesus, your word is so clear. What you did is so clear. What I deserve is so heavy. All I can say is I am wrong and I am sorry. But that doesn't fix it. Tonight we look to the cross and we recognize what it cost for you to purchase our forgiveness. And all we can do is receive the gift. All we can say is thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for paying my price in full. Thank you for offering me a gift I don't deserve, I will never pay off, I will never earn. Lord, I pray for each one here tonight, everyone hearing my voice, that each one would come to terms with you, with what you did, with eternity, and turn and run to you for rescue that you so gladly and freely offer. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for bearing my sins in your body on the tree so that I could be made new and welcomed, reconciled into a right relationship with you where I can enjoy sweet fellowship with you today and every day for eternity. I can enjoy your presence now as we see through a glass darkly, but one day, we will be in your presence. We look forward to that day. Be at work in each of our hearts, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you.
1 Peter 1:18-19. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot.
1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed.
1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit.
2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being part of our Good Friday service. God bless you. May he be at work in you. And I just want to remind you, Jesus died for our sins. What's your response? Make that response tonight. I'd invite you, ask questions if you have questions. Stick around, talk. If you need prayer, we're here to pray for you, to encourage you. God bless you. Thanks for being here. You're dismissed.